Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this: talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
All right, go ahead and roll for perception.
I got a 13.
Hey, that's pretty good. With that, you can tell there's some fantasy situations going on. You hear some adult language, and with that, you can tell this podcast probably isn't for kids.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Will.
I'm Brian.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from debonair Deva to desperate Demi Liches. And today, we're talking about the Kenku. I cast fireball. The Dungeon Cast. All right, Brian.
What the hell is a Kenku?
Yeah, they're definitely a more exotic race. Twitter, you voted. We're talking about the Kenku today.
You win again, Twitter.
we're going to be going through all the races in Volo's Guide to Monsters.
Nice.
And this is one of them.
Okay.
Volo's Guide to Monsters. So the Kenku are a bird-like humanoid race. They're raven or crow-like, specifically.
Gotcha.
Not like the Aarakocra, which are more like eagle.
Yeah. I've seen cool Aarakocra, like owls and stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. That shit's dope.
But Kenkus are like
Kenkus
ravens.
Kenkus are very specifically ravens, and there's really no need to reflavor them. They are an incredibly bizarre race. There's a lot of lore on them. I'm really surprised that we got a Kenku so early on in 5e's run.
Development.
There we go.
Okay.
Just because, like, they're 99% of the time, they're just monsters because of their unique situation and because they're incredibly difficult to role play, and we will discuss why.
Interesting. Like a fae? Oh.
No, not like that. Nothing like we've talked about.
This is
about
unlike
before.
Anything you've ever experienced,
exactly,
Brian.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Take me down this Kenku rabbit hole.
Okay. And also, just in most editions, you don't get Kenku till like near the end. But anyways, they
did people see Kenku in Volo's Guide and be like, the end is nigh.
I know, right?
Sixth edition. No.
No, not at all. You know, it's funny. A lot of people seem to be attracted to playing them, but I've yet to see someone play them. And I would probably wager that people that try and play them stop trying to play them after a couple sessions.
Let us know in the comments below if you have played a Kenku.
Yeah, I want to know how successful that went for you.
Yeah.
So okay, let's talk about the Kenku. They are short, raven-like humanoids, usually around 5 feet, maybe slightly under. They are wingless. That's important. It's going to come up later.
Every time like a 5-foot bird comes up, I'm like, fuck, that's a giant bird.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, that's not like super big in terms of anything else.
Yeah, that's true. They have talons for feet. They wander the world. They're known to wander the world semi-aimlessly in like large flocks.
Okay.
They have a terrible reputation of being greedy, unscrupulous, and self-seeking creatures. They're chaotic neutral as fuck.
Okay, so is it their reputation or are they that way? Is it like a stereotype?
It's a stereotype, but in this case it tends to be true. A big part of that is because, well, like crows like shiny things, so it's kind of a play on crows like gathering shiny things in real life. It's built into their lore and their story, which I will tell you their tale shortly. You decide for yourself. I don't like that in most player races or even monsters, where it's like a certain behavior type is so built into your, where it almost seems like a racial stereotype. I don't like that.
Yeah, like you have to do it.
Yeah. And so obviously you don't. Like, this is your game, you know, homebrew how you are. But I am going to go over how the Kenku are usually depicted.
Okay.
So there are a number of things that define the Kenku, and most of them are weird. So they have an inherent inability to create or conceive any new idea or thing.
What?
We will talk about why.
Okay.
They also have the innate ability to mimic and copy things on an extraordinary level.
You're making me like get into some philosophical shit about creativity right now.
Yeah, and we will be talking about that. And they are constantly on the search to regain their wings because they used to have them way back in the day. They also have an inability to speak. They do not have a voice.
Like the race Kenku evolved to lose their wings at some point, or what do you mean?
I will now tell you their tale.
Okay. Tell me a
the story of the story of the Kenku. Long ago, the Kenku were servants of some forgotten deity and or power on some other plane of existence. No one really knows. There are some certain candidates that are possible or plausible, but no one knows.
Okay.
Make it up. They were the winged scouts and messengers of said being. They were known to have a beautiful, like, song-like language, a bird song.
Oh, cool.
They had a pretty dope setup, from my understanding, with this deity being person.
Yeah, they all sound like Hermes.
I guess so. But at some point, they coveted their master's great wealth and treasures. Ooh. And depending on which version of the lore you're reading, they either plotted to steal it and were caught, or they disguised themselves as beggars and came and like begged at his door, and then they were caught doing that.
Oh.
Either way, they did bad. They were caught. And as a punishment for their transgression,
and they won their deception check.
In an over-the-top reaction from a great deity, he stripped them of their flight, took their wings. He took their voices so they could no longer speak, and he stripped their souls of the spark of creativity. and he cast them into the prime material.
He like opened up the car engine of this shit and like, you know what, I'm taking this too.
Yeah, exactly. So that is why they have a lack of ability to create anything unique or original.
Bummer.
Which is why they can't craft, they can't do a lot of stuff like that, so they end up being like beggars and stealers.
They can't dance, they can't unless fly. They've seen someone dance.
They're weak and small, so it's not like they can fend for themselves too well. Like, they also can't speak, and so let's talk about that.
Oh yeah.
How do they communicate? Yeah. So they can't speak, but what they can do is they can mimic any sound they've ever heard ever.
So they can speak.
Okay, so I know that sounds confusing, and it's kind of dumb, really, if you think about it.
Yeah.
But I guess it's because they can't, like, for instance, you and me talking right now, like, and my brain in a split second is making up the thing I'm about to say right before I say it.
Right.
They can't do that. They can't conversate in that way. So
you have to, like, file through things they've heard.
Exactly.
So, like, their speech might change, like, patterns depending on if they've never heard a certain person say a certain word.
Exactly. They can't say anything they haven't heard before. And when they say it, they're not saying it. They're literally repeating the same thing and sound they heard exactly. It's the same inflection, the same voice. So a Kenku trying to talk to you, if they have a wide enough vocabulary, might be talking to you in a thousand voices. They just open their mouth and shit comes out.
Dude. Okay. So like already my role play ability to like be a Kenku is like I've been exhausted.
Yeah. A lot of times they don't even use words. They just use sounds for, like, let's say they go to the blacksmith and they want a sword to be repaired. They might hold up a sword, open their mouth, and make the sound of a hammer hitting metal. And, like, you get the point. You know,
yeah.
You do the thing. So they have severe communication problems.
Right.
But their ability to mimic extends more than just this voice thing. They have an extreme eye for detail. If you were to sit one down and craft something in front of them,
they could mimic you
and get them to be able to see and learn every detail. Theoretically, they'd be able to mimic that exact same thing, and they could just be a massive production line for a single type of object.
Oh, weird.
But like that situation just doesn't happen normally, naturally. So most of the time, these guys are just stealing clothes instead of making clothes.
And if you...
And they wouldn't be able to deviate either. So, like, if they learn to make a shirt, they could only make the same shirt of the same size every time.
Right. So, if you taught one Kenku to make a shirt of a certain size, could that Kenku teach the other Kenkus?
Maybe, because the other Kenkus would have to go through the same process that Kenku did.
Right.
Yeah.
So you just have fucking, like, you know how at like a craft shop they have like, let's make a birdhouse day.
But I think this would also come down to like the ability for the Kenku to pay enough attention, because like that's a lot of detail. And even though they have great attention to detail, that's a lot.
maybe you can create an assembly. I'm my mind is racing. I'm thinking about creating a Kenku assembly line to like.
Yeah, I thought about the same thing when I heard this. And I think it could be done. I think it would be very difficult. They also have the innate ability to copy handwriting like perfectly. They just can. They can see handwriting and copy it. Just done.
That is troublesome.
So, yeah, they. And it's because of these abilities, they get drawn into shadier types of work.
Yeah.
It's like you inherently are physically capable of doing bad things. And so they end up becoming spies or working with thieves guilds.
Yeah, Kenku rogues.
You know, like people that won't knock them for being Kenku and just like use them for their abilities.
They love those fools.
Yeah. Now they make good spies and thieves and whatnot, but they're also incapable of improvising. So they're given a plan, and if something not in the plan happens, they're screwed. They can't think of a way out of it. They'll freeze.
There's no accounting for the unexpected.
Which this is so unhuman-like. So again, role-playing this is very difficult. You'd have to like realize like, oh, wait, I'm coming up with an idea.
Right.
I can't be coming up with ideas.
This Kenku wouldn't do that.
Exactly.
Oh,
so
you'd have to fight that constantly.
Yeah. So, you know, they get drawn into Thieves Guild or they end up wandering and stealing.
Could you tell Kenku, like, if you get caught up, fly, or, well, they can't fly.
Yeah, they can't fly.
Anyway, like, here's how you escape.
Thanks for bringing it up, Brian. I'm sure they're real upset now.
I just offended a bunch of Kenkus.
You did. All right, what were you saying, though?
Let's move on.
Yeah.
I was going to go down some kind of deep, like,
okay.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll cover it.
Well, we will, but before we do that, I'm ready to take a short rest.
Then we should.
All right, let's do it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the part of the episode where we stop talking about those bird fools. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the viewers and how much we appreciate and love you guys. Thank you so much for being a part of this, listening to the show and commenting and stuff like that, leaving us iTunes reviews. All that is so helpful. But the most helpful thing you can do for us is if you want to support us, is to tell somebody you know about the show.
Mm-hmm. Tweet out about the show.
Yes.
Send emails about the show. Tell your Facebook friends about the show.
Anybody.
Tell your coworkers about the show.
Just talk about it, and that'd be awesome.
Yeah, we would greatly really appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. if you need to know where else to find us, like say you're listening to us on soundcloud.com/thedungeoncast, know that we are also on YouTube recording our faces usually. If I don't lose the footage.
Yeah, seriously.
That was the holidays. I apologize for that. You can find us on YouTube if you search the Dungeon Cast. Thanks, Josh Freeland. Or you can, iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict.
Everywhere podcasts can be found.
Yeah, basically.
We're there.
We a podcast. What else do we got? You got anything else? Patreon.com/thedungeoncast if you want to support us. We're doing some real cool projects there coming up.
Yeah, if you're
shortly.
Interested in bonus content of like live plays and whatnot, we got a couple up there.
Early episodes.
Show notes. My crappy show notes.
Will's handwriting isn't unlegible. Yeah. let's go back to the show.
Let's do it.
Whoa. It's like we're back in the show.
Indeed. So let's get back to Kenku. They like to live in high places. They're birds. They are often pining for their wings. It's like in their soul. They want to fly again. And so they tend to make their homes on like tall towers or buildings or high up places that they can climb up to.
Damn.
They do lay eggs and they do nest like birds. Remember, I think with Aarakocra, they do the same thing. Aarakocra, I think, only live like 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
Is that right? With Kenku, it's different. They reach adulthood by age 12. They actually usually live to be about 60. So,
okay.
Reasonable lifespan.
Yeah.
Much better deal than the Aarakocra got.
Except they're like just shitty versions of the Aarakocra.
I mean, they're completely different, though.
Yeah.
They're just completely different. Theoretically, a Kenku should make a pretty good wizard, I would think. With the memorization, the attention to detail.
But it wouldn't know, like, how would it know how to combat, you know? Like,
I mean,
it would have to be pre-programmed to, like, do certain things in certain situations, wouldn't it?
See, this is where it starts to not make sense with this whole creativity spark thing. Like, where do you draw the line? Like, they have to be able to make unique thoughts, even if they can't come up with unique creative ideas.
Maybe it would have, if it's not the case, maybe like it would have studied something like a monster manual.
There we go. It could literally study like combat tactics.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
and exactly. Then be like, oh, that isn't like my allies are attacking this. Here's fireball.
Exactly. Okay. And I think that's reasonable.
It can take commands though. Like, hey, attack
that
thing.
Yes, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Like in a party, it could be feasible to be a wizard and like actually be useful by
absolutely
shit.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But yeah, with their ability to memorize, like I don't see any reason why they shouldn't make good wizards, which is why when we talk about the actual stats that this character race gets, I would change a couple things, but we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
They usually, it's kind of like you were just saying about like telling the Kenku what to do, they usually like to have a leader to follow and to emulate.
Well, yeah.
Because they can't.
I mean, it sounds necessary.
It sounds necessary, right? Which is another reason why these guys are hard to roleplay, because it's like you have to be a character who's deferent, really.
Yeah. You just do what people tell you to do.
Otherwise, you're a nuisance and a liability.
I mean, I guess it's okay if you're a new player. New players, like, not all the time, but a lot of new players are looking for a lot of direction as far as like being told what to do. Like, what do I do in the situation is something a new character thinks all about a lot.
That could be true. Yeah.
But you know.
You're right. Yeah. But still, I don't know. Kenku don't have normal names because they don't have normal voices. Their names are usually
just fucking noise.
Yeah, they're weird noises.
Knew it.
For things they do. So like a warrior, like a Kenku who like fights, his name is like
Sword
the
Boy.
Sound of Sword Boy. No.
Okay.
His name is like the sound of swords clashing. They just open their mouths. It's like ching ching, and that's his name.
What's up, ching ching? What's up, cling clang?
Well, it's funny because then what happens is humans will call them by like, hey smasher, hey slasher, hey slicer. You know, the sound that they name the sound that they're hearing. You know what I mean?
I see.
Hey ching ching.
Hey, your name is. Well, I mean, then your name becomes Slasher, and that's dope. You're like, my name is Kling Klang.
When the fighter episode comes, I'm going to make a Kenku fighter named Kling Kling. But anyways.
Okay.
What you're saying, yeah. what are you saying?
All I'm saying is that, like, if you are introducing yourself to NPCs, a lot of them are going to be freaked the fuck out.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Also, having a roleplay that is difficult. Urban thieves might have, like, the sounds of urban animals, like a rat skitter or an owl hoot or something, you know, a crow caw.
I guess if you like the aesthetic, you can just like be like, oh, this Kenku knows how to talk.
Yeah, fuck it. Yeah. There you go. That's how I would approach it.
But as far as like 5e.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah,
there
we're limited is. To this. Yeah.
So that being said, let's talk about the actual stats they get, because they get some really cool features.
I'm a Kenku. Sorry, I'm on another thing. If I'm a Kenku who likes to defend, and my name is, and you just hear like the sound of an arrow hitting a shield.
Yeah, it would be something like that. Exactly. That's exactly what they would do.
And that guy's name is Thunk.
Yeah, hey, that's Thunk. We don't talk about Thunk. All right, so they're going to get a plus two to dexterity, which I think is very fitting because they have dexterous hands and they're small.
Hands?
They're very...
Oh, they don't have wings?
No, yeah, they have hands.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So there it is.
Do they have nails on them or are they like talon hands?
I think they're just hands.
They're just some
hands. Feathered hands.
Just feathered hands.
I think so. I'd have to take another look. Yeah, I think so, because I'm like picturing a Kenku holding a dagger.
Okay, yeah, and, sure.
Yeah, we'll have to pull it up. But anyways, plus two to dex. Now they get a plus one to wisdom, which I think is just wrong. Like, not to say that they're unwise. It's just like, there's nothing about them that I've read that like that makes any type of sense. They are not particularly wise or intuitive or insightful, and they don't have good instincts. Like, wisdom for me is more tied to creativity than maybe some of the other attributes. For me, it should be intelligence because they are very shrewd. They're very attention to detail. They are capable of massive memorization. Am I wrong here? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, intelligence versus wisdom. I think you would dump the stat into intelligence as like a role play like issue.
Yeah. That's so in my world, I would definitely have this as an option, like homebrew or swapping the wisdom with int. That's just how I would do it. They get a feature called Expert Forgery. You can duplicate other creatures' handwriting and craft work. You have advantage on all checks made to produce forgeries or duplicates of existing objects.
Not bad.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
That's actually really powerful.
Doesn't the assassin rogue have to like study a while to like be able to duplicate a signature?
Yeah,
or
that's
like
a thing
assume
you
an identity.
Get. Yeah, yeah, you're right. And they can just do it. Now, cool. I find this pretty powerful because it says craft work. You can produce duplicates of existing objects. Like, that to me doesn't entirely make sense. And like, for instance, piece of pottery.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know how to make pottery,
then how could you duplicate it?
How could you duplicate it? Like,
right. Someone, that like, would be a creative endeavor.
That would be a creative endeavor. So, like, it doesn't quite add up, but that's what the rules say. So, there it is. hey. You have proficiency. You are proficient in your choice of the two following skills: acrobatics, deception, stealth, and sleight of hand. This is a good feature,
yeah.
Objectively speaking, but in my opinion, like, this is a lazy way to what that it's just a lazy feature. It's like, oh, and you're trained in something, pick one of these devious things, like,
yeah,
like, and just make it sleight of hand. That's what it should be.
Okay.
I don't know. It just seems lazy to me. I don't know.
It was also stealth is in there. What was it?
Stealth, deception, acrobatics, and sleight of hand.
Yeah. I don't know. Deception is weird because like deceiving somebody is also like a creative thing. There's not, unless you're going by a script.
Yeah. Like elves get perception and I think orcs get intimidation. Like just pick the thing that makes the most sense and just go with it.
Yeah.
It
sleight of hand. Does anything else just get like sleight of hand straight up? Like that's kind of cool.
No, I don't think anything does.
Yeah.
But there is precedent for other races getting a single skill.
Right.
That is attached to the obvious lore. I don't understand why Kenku get a choice. I'm not saying that having a choice is bad. I just feel...
Well, mechanically, it's good. But
mechanically,
like,
it's good. I like just feel like this was lazy creation. But that's just... What do I know?
Just
I
pick one of this shit.
I'm just some guy who talks about D&D. Right. The next feature they get is called Mimicry. You can... And we already kind of talked about this, but here's the nitty-gritty of it. You can mimic sounds you have heard, including voices. A creature that hears the sounds you make can tell they are imitations with a successful wisdom insight check opposed by your charisma deception check.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there it is.
I like it.
Languages. You can read and write common and Orin. Orin is the language of
the bird people.
The plane of air.
Okay, yeah. Bird people, plane of air.
But you
same
can,
thing.
But you can speak only using
it's not
your
the same.
But you can speak only using your mimicry trait, which we already kind of talked about.
Yeah, it's a
you
bummer.
Can't really talk.
You just fucking make weird sounds.
So all in all, these guys are difficult to roleplay. They have a weird way of speaking that annoys other people.
You're fucking Bumblebee from
You're Bumblebee from Transformers.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so annoying.
Yeah.
It was cool for like 10 minutes.
Yes, indeed. Exactly. You can't plan anything. So like, you can never be the one to be like, oh guys, I know what we should do. You can't ever do that. You can't ever improvise. So you have to pay attention to what you're doing, and you can't create anything.
From like a zoomed out kind of like, yeah, I employ Kenkus as a NPC. There's an NPC that exists that employs Kenkus to like do their bidding.
Right.
And like, hey, just come with me on the sneak mission. You do the same thing. I just point you to like a new location or whatever. And then like,
they need direction.
Like you were saying with like thieves guilds and assassins.
Exactly. And now what I was saying kind of at the beginning of the episode where I was saying I was surprised we got them as a race so early because they're almost usually monsters because of the way they are.
Right.
Because it's hard to play that. Now, I'm not trying to say don't play this or this is a bad thing to play. Yeah, no, totally by all means. No. Yeah. If you're interested, by all means, do it.
We're just saying it's difficult. That does not sound easy to me.
I will say it is probably difficult. I would like to hear people's stories and kinkus they've rolled on the success rate, or maybe how often is it homebrewed to be a little different to make it easier?
Yeah, to make the role play a little smoother.
Because I would probably role play or homebrew some stuff to alter it a bit.
Did you like fake suicide your character just so you could play something else?
Just to not be a kinku anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Like, I'll make a dexterity save, you fail. You're falling down the cliff and you die. Oh, but a new boy's walking up. He looks like he likes adventuring.
Yeah, he does. Oh, look, he has a character sheet and everything. Okay, I think we're done. Do you have any more questions about Kenku?
They're weird.
They're weird. I like having them as NPCs in games a lot. I think they're interesting to have around.
Yeah.
I think role-playing ones are just very difficult.
What I do like is the aesthetic a lot. That's cool. They kind of look...
They're very flavorful.
You can make it look like... you know how the doctors wore like the bubonic plague mask with a long weird beak?
Yeah.
I just picture those, like a bunch of those.
That'd be kind of cool. Yeah, I like that.
But no questions.
Okay, really. All right. Well, with that, I think we're going to call it a game. Well, thank you all for listening.
Call it a game. Thanks a lot, guys.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the screen?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.